Well, all right. Well, we are going to jump right in. I don't want to keep you very long, but I do have a couple things that I believe the Lord would like us to grab hold of tonight. And we're going to continue from last week Wednesday. If you were here last week Wednesday, we started talking about how to resist the devil. Sounds simple, sounds like stuff that we know, but oftentimes it's the stuff that we know that we let slip. Have you ever found that to be true? It's the stuff that you think that, oh, yeah, I got that down, I know. That's the stuff that we wake up 5, 10 years later and go, what? When did I stop doing that? Wasn't that what always worked? So we don't want to let some things slip. We don't want to become so familiar with things that we realize we wake up one day and realize we stopped practicing and putting into practice these things. Amen? And so we want to do a quick review. So go to the book of James real quick. And I won't read all that we read. You can go back on podcast or if you like CDs, you can get CDs and go back and listen again to last week. But I'm not going to take all the time that we did to read all the scriptures leading up to our foundational scripture. We're going to just kind of go right in and then touch on a few things and hopefully move on and make a little progress. But James chapter 4 and verse 7. And remember we said this, it's real important that we read the whole verse because so many times we get in a habit of quoting just half the verse. And if you think about it, you've probably said it, I've probably said it, and I guarantee you've heard others say, well, you know, just resist the devil and he'll flee. You got to resist the devil and he'll flee. And the problem is if we say that long enough, then that's all we're going to believe. And that's only partly true. It's not, that's not complete. That's not the full equation that God gives us. And so we want to look at it and read it properly. In verse 7 in the King James reads, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So it's not just a matter of, well, you got to resist the devil. And so, okay, I'm going to resist. But we want to make sure that we are first, we want to make sure that we're qualifying to resist the devil. And what empowers us or qualifies us to be in a true resistance stance, so to speak, would be first submitting ourselves to God. Amplified reads like this. It says, so be subject to God. Resist the devil, stand firm against him, and he will flee from you. Now, remember we said this word submit. If you look it up and you go through definitions, one clear, strong definition for the word submit is simply obey. It's simply obey. When you talk about being submissive, you'll find it links up with the word obedient. So we could very easily, in fact, I wrote it down and read it to you last week, we could easily interchange those two words and it wouldn't be incorrect, it wouldn't be taking or adding anything, and you could simply say, make yourself obedient to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. See, it says the exact same thing, that we're literally saying what the words literally mean. And when we talk about it like that, it really helps to open things up and give us a greater perspective of what we're talking about, because it's still vague and it's still blind just to, you know, go up to somebody who's going through something and say, well, you know, you just need to resist the devil. What is that? Okay, well, and it's like there should be more, and there is more. There is more. And so remember we talked about this. There's no real resistance until there's first submission. Because the submitting came before the resisting. And how many know God is smarter than us? Right? If the resistance was to come first, he would have wrote that first. But obviously he knows more than we do. And so while we will, a lot of times in our haste and when we're dealing with something and feelings are involved and something happens traumatic, a lot of times we want to just rush in and we want to get in there and just, you know, start binding and loosing and casting out and resisting and doing all these things. And that's all fine and great. But we want to make sure that we're living a life that's submitted to God. that we're living a lifestyle of obedience so that when resistance is needed, we have obedience to draw from. We have submission on our side. Amen? Amen? So there's no real resistance until there's first submission. Amen. Or we could say it like this. There's no real resistance unless it's backed up by obedience. See, that resisting, it needs to have some force to it, right? It needs to have some substance to it. And what backs up our stand against the enemy is the fact that we know we're qualifying to stand because we're living lives that are obedient to God. Perfect lives? No, absolutely not. But every day we're on track to grow in that, quote, perfection, or we could say maturity. Absolutely. That every day, as far as you know, you're doing all you know to do. And give it a second and the Holy Spirit will show you something else that you can tweak or change. And it's an ever-growing process because we're ever-growing, becoming like Him, right? The more we seek Him, the more we behold His face, the more we become like Him. Amen. So we should expect Him, amen, to show us areas. We want that, don't we? I mean, isn't that the point? To become like Christ? Absolutely, we want that. And so we really want to not allow the enemy to cause us to think about obedience as a bad word. Submission is such a bad rap. You know, don't you tell me to submit. I don't have to submit to anybody. I'm independent. You know, I can do my... Well, you know, there's something amazingly powerful about being completely dependent upon the Lord and completely submitted. You are never stronger than when you are fully submitted. See, the world has it mixed up. You know, you hear people say, well, I'm a self-made man, and I do my own thing, and I go my way. I write my own book in life. I march to the beat of my own drum. And that sounds all great, but it's powerless. It's a powerless life because you're unhooked from the power source. And, you know, frankly, I don't want to do life on my own strength. It cannot be done. Just take a look. Just go home and watch the news and just watch and listen to all kinds of scenarios that people have tried to do life on their own. Outside of God, disconnected from the power source. And so our obedience, our submission to God is not a powerless, defeated position. It's a strength. When we're submitted to God, my goodness, I am never more powerful in my stance in Christ and standing, walking by faith than when I'm living a life that is in submission to Him. And you know the amazing thing about submission? You don't have to feel like submitting in order to submit. You don't. I'm getting a little ahead of myself. We'll get back to that. So it's our obedience and our submission to God and His Word that gives us our resistance power. We kept using that phrase last week, our resistance power. Resist simply means to withstand or to stand against. And so we never really successfully stand against the devil until we're first submitting our lives to God. Amen? And I love saying it like this, our daily lives, not just our Sunday morning lives. Not just, you know, and it shouldn't be this way. And I pray it's not like this for anybody in faith family. We don't want to have, you know, well, here's my spiritual life and then here's my other life. No. We want to be the same. Who we are is who we are all the time. I don't have a Sunday face and then I have a Monday face. I don't have a Sunday talk vocabulary, but then, you know, catch me on Tuesday and whoop, all bets are off. No. Amen? And so it's important that we hunger to walk closely to God in our daily lives. Amen? Amen? Amen. Are you with me? Yes. This is good news, right? Amen. It is good news. And so we can say it like this then. Your obedience to God is the key or the power force to resist the devil. Because doesn't the word resist, doesn't it give you a picture or a connotation of you're going to need to be tough. You're going to need to have some footing. You need to have, you know, you need to be grounded, right? I mean, you know, think about a football game. And I'm going to need help because I have no idea who does what and where goes who and who catches what and what their position is. But I know that there is somebody's job on that field to resist the other guy. I don't know what they're called, but I know they're normally really big, you know, and they're always putting their shoulder in it, you know, and they're putting their whole body in it, and they get in there and they're resisting that other person. Who are they called? Are they... Offensive line, thank you. Okay, these people. And when you watch this happening on TV, right, they're not like this. No. Getting close. Oh, okay. You know, okay, whatever I got to do. You know? No, right? They are strong. They are steady. They are sturdy. And it's like running into a brick wall. They're ready to resist. Right? And so when we say, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, there should come with that a picture of power. It's not just resist yourself to God. You know, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. No, it's submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Amen? There's a strength when we talk about resisting. Amen. And then we started to close out last week by talking about just like there are things we can do naturally, that we can do things that weaken our immune system, or you've heard it said, lower your resistance level. Right? To fight off germs, to fight off sickness, to fight off disease, colds, flus, viruses, whatever. There are things we can do to strengthen our resistance levels naturally. And there are things we can do that will weaken our resistance levels naturally. Well, it is the same thing spiritually. Disobedience to God weakens our resistance level. Weakens our spiritual immune system, we could say. Absolutely. Whereas obedience to God, setting yourself to obey his word, no matter if you feel like it or not, no matter if your mind can even fully process, and your mind even may not even quite understand and doesn't even want to agree. But you can still obey God because he's God and because his word is true. And that's where faith comes in. You do that by faith. You say, well, I couldn't obey God if I'm not feeling it. I got to feel it. If you're waiting to feel like it, you're going to be waiting a long time. Because this flesh does not want to yield to this. And so that is why we make it. Notice Paul uses phrases like, you bridle your tongue. Right? You buffet, not buffet. I know. Well, Paul said to buffet my body, so no, he said buffet. Subdue it. Right? Yeah. So, all right. So then we ended in Ephesians. So let's just go there, and then we're going to spend the next few minutes, a little bit of time, looking at some things in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. Praise God. You know, you could spend your whole life in the book of Ephesians and never fully get everything there is to get because it is just so amazingly unlimited. So if you never quite know where to go in the Word of God, go to Ephesians. So, so wonderful. All right, are you there? Ephesians 4? All right, so now when we talk about obedience, And we talk about obedience being our power source or our force behind resisting the devil. I want us to link another word with this because really it's one and the same. When we're talking about obedience, I want us to think authority. Because our obedience is connected to our authority. The authority that we walk in, that we are called to walk in. The authority, as we spoke about Sunday, that's been given to us by Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen? So walking in obedience to God has everything to do with walking in authority. You cannot remove those two things from each other. It's not, well, you know, there's obedience here and there's authority here. No, they are like this. They are like this. You can't have one without the other. You cannot walk in full authority unless you're walking in obedience to God. You cannot walk in blatant disobedience to God's word and then yet expect to exercise full authority over the devil. Now, people do that, and it's crazy. And what's even crazier is then they get mad at me. It just doesn't work. I'm like, well, let's talk about your life. What do you mean it doesn't work? Maybe you're not working. The word always works. Amen. If there's ever issue, it's on us. It's never on the word. Amen. Amen? The fault is either we're not working it somehow, but the fault is never on God. And so we want to make sure that we're always linking these two together. Authority that God has given us through Christ Jesus, absolutely, yes, it's ours. Absolutely, 100%. We take it by faith and we've got to walk in it. But you know what backs up, what brings confidence to that stand of authority? It's knowing that you're doing your part. Yeah, I know we're the righteousness by God in Christ Jesus. And I'm not talking about getting into works. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about there's a confidence that you have when you know your heart is right before God. Right? You know what I mean? Yeah, absolutely there is. And you know, it's like there's this whole you got to... You feel like sometimes you got to approach this carefully because, well, you know, you're telling me I got to get into works? No, no, not at all. No, your performance, listen, we said this last week. You could go out here and do opposite of everything you've ever heard and ever learned. You could do the worst possible case scenario of disobedience that you could come up with. Does it change God's love for you? Not at all. Not at all. But does it affect your confidence level to walk in the authority that God has given you? Does it affect your place, in a sense, that place, that are you still the righteousness of God? Absolutely. But you tell me. We know what it's like. We know if we can just use that word feel. You know what I mean? You know what it's like. That there's nothing like when you know you feel right with God. But you're doing all you know to do. And you might miss it, but you know you can get right back up because your heart is right. You have a heart that wants to do right. Right? That's why David could bounce back so many times because he had a heart that he wanted to do right. Amen. So authority and obedience. Now, when we resist the devil... Now listen to this, because I know it sounds so simple, but it's really, it's good enough to listen to. When we resist the devil, we're walking in our authority. To resist him is to obey God, because God said to resist him. Now it's not a riddle. You're like, wait, is there a secret meaning in this? It just kind of means what it says. When we resist the devil, we're walking in our authority. Because to resist him is to obey God. Because God is the one that told us, right? He said, submit to me, obey me. How? Resist the devil. Glory, glory. Amen. Amen. So then the opposite of resisting him would be what? To yield to him. The opposite of resisting the devil would be to yield to him, to give in to him. And that would be opposite of what God told us to do. So does that mean if I just don't resist him and I yield to him and I just cave in and I give in and I do all that, that's disobedience? Exactly. Why? Because I am doing opposite of what God told me to do, because he told me to resist him. Is this making sense?
Yes.
I like to think about it like this. A simple definition for walking in authority is simply this: doing the opposite of everything the devil tells you to do. Walking in authority, if you want to just get it real simplified, and I like simple, walking in authority is just simply living life on purpose to do the opposite of everything he tells you to do. For instance, tomorrow morning you get up and you feel symptoms, or you just feel blah, or you feel depressed, or you feel whatever these feelings are trying to tell you, and you get the thought comes, you know, I just can't get out of bed. I gotta stay here. I can't. What would be the opposite of that? That's right. You do the opposite. You do the opposite. You say, no, By his stripes, I am healed. I have authority over the devil. I have authority over this body. I tell this body how to feel. This body cannot dictate to me unless I let it, and I'm not going to let it. Because I'm living out of my spirit. My spirit man is in charge. Spirit man's boss. Spirit, soul, body. Three-part being. Notice who's on top. Spirit, soul, body. So the last voice I'm going to listen to is my body. So I'm going to listen to my spirit. My spirit says, God's word says, I can do all things through Christ. Get up out of this bed. At that moment, you have an opportunity. You can resist. You can resist the flesh. You can resist those feelings. You can resist all of that. You can't do it. Whatever the lies are, whatever that conversation going on in your head, you can resist that. And you can obey God and just simply get up by faith. Amen. Another good walking, living, practical example. The thought comes, I could never forgive them. You can never forgive them. They hurt you so bad. They don't even know the degree. Look at them walking around smiling, living their life. They don't even know what they did to me. They don't even know how much they hurt me. All of these thoughts, that conversation that goes on the inside of us. Is that the voice of God?
No.
So should I resist that?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. So what would my resistance look like? It would look like me on purpose doing the exact opposite and choosing by faith to forgive this person. Going before God and saying, Father, by faith, I choose to forgive, and you call their name. And you make it a holy thing before you and God. It's not something, you know, it's not something you're doing, you know, in between the French fry and the cheeseburger and the drink of Diet Coke or whatever. And, oh, yeah, yeah. No. You make this a thing that means something. And you go before God and you do the exact opposite. You say, yeah, but I'm not feeling it. But you don't have to feel like it to obey. But you do have to obey. So are we going to wait for our feelings to kick in, or are we going to obey by faith and let our feelings catch up? We're going to obey by faith because God said to resist. One of the attributes or the works of the devil, the characteristics of the devil, is unforgiveness. So then we were reading in James, you got to go back and listen to the podcast. We were reading where James was talking about all of these things that we need to resist. And he was saying, as for your heart, because he was writing to the believer. Remember that from last week? It was like he was saying, as for your heart, Christian, as for your heart, Christian. It's not okay for you. Others may walk around with chips on their shoulders and bitterness and resentment and anger, but as for your heart, Christian, it's not okay for you. Because we're submitted to a higher, we've left this lower kingdom. And we're now living our lives in submission to a higher kingdom. Amen. So the resistance to unforgiveness would be what? Forgive. Forgive. It's doing the exact opposite. Authority is walking and doing the exact opposite of everything the devil tells you to do. When he says you can't, you say, yes, I can. And you get up and you do it. And you can't, there's places of obedience in God that you really cannot sit there and reason about. Because if you let your mind get in there, you will reason yourself out of it. If you've ever been in a situation where maybe you've come in contact with somebody and you know they've said some horrible things, they've done some horrible things, and maybe you have the thought, you're in the same church service or something with them, and the thought runs in your mind and says, why don't you bless them, go give them $100, shake their hand, and just greet them and walk away. Now, if you sit there and dwell and think about that for about 10 minutes... you're not doing it. Because within 10 minutes, every reason why that is stupid and every reason why you shouldn't have to be, and it will end up with being, I'm not the one who, if anybody's going to, somebody needs to come and tell me. I mean, they ought to be giving me the money because I was, well, see. Now we're siding with the devil. See, but it doesn't make sense. Faith doesn't have to make sense. It doesn't. It doesn't have to compute up here. It computes in here, and it computes in here. Amen. Obeying God will always cause you to do exactly opposite of what the devil wants you to do. Remember, we said there are two kingdoms, and they're not running side by side. There's darkness and there's light. And they oppose each other continually. Amen. But the flip side of that is obeying the devil will cause you to do opposite of what God wants you to do. And that's a really good sobering thought to keep in your mind. That when you're feeling tempted to do something and your heart's pulling at you and you know you shouldn't, but you're tempted. A good way, a real sobering thought is, okay, if I do this, I am blatantly going to do the opposite of what I know God's told me to do. Okay, can I live with that? Can I deal with that? We need to, sometimes you just need to soberly walk yourself through these types of things and help backtrack. Help put yourself back in a place of resistance. Amen. Amen. Absolutely. The kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan are always opposed to one another, which really presents a great argument. Really, it does. Because there's two ways of thinking about it. I've often heard people that their whole theory is that, you know what, if stuff's happening in your life and if your faith is being challenged and you feel like you're being opposed, their first thought is, what's that person doing wrong? What sin is going on in that person's life? What are they doing wrong that they're having to stand? And they just seem like they're just facing challenges. But you know what? I think about it like this. If the devil is not trying to oppose you, if he is not challenging your faith in any way, it might be because the two of you are walking in the same direction. Absolutely. Absolutely. There's no opposition when two are walking side by side, headed the same way. There's agreement. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to walk in agreement with the enemy. I want to walk in agreement with God. Absolutely. So Ephesians 4, let's start in verse 22, and we've just got just a little bit of time left. We'll go as far as we can. If we don't get all the way, make a note of it, and when you take the time to do so, even before you go to bed, read, if you would, read all of Ephesians 4 and 5. Amazing, amazing. But for time's sake, I'm trying to find spots to jump into and pull out some things regarding what we're talking about. So if we jump into verse 22, now everything we're about to read, it has everything to do with resisting the devil, our obedience to God, and our authority. You see it all the way through here. So we pick it up. Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, and basically we could say this because the word is living. He's writing to us, the church at Faith Family Maui, and he says this in verse 22 in the Amplified. He says, strip yourselves of your former nature. Okay, who's the one doing the work? We are. Notice it didn't say, God will strip yourself of your former nature. God's done his part, right? We talked all about that Sunday. Blood's been shed. We went past the cross. He went down into hell, took the key, death, hell, and the grave, resurrected. God's done his part. Now here we are with all this authority. And what do? He says, strip yourselves of your former nature. Amplified says, put off and discard your old unrenewed self, which characterized your previous manner of life and becomes corrupt through lust and desires that spring from delusion. So there's a putting off, there's a taking off that has to be done, right? And he says in verse 23, and be, it's like one continual thought. In the same breath, he's saying, and be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind. Having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. You know, a renewed mind is strong in resisting the devil. Absolutely. You don't got to talk a renewed mind into resisting the devil. Yeah. And notice he says, be constantly renewed. You know, wouldn't it be amazing if, well, I've said this so many times over the years, it would be awesome if we could have like a prayer line. We're going to have a prayer line for those who want their mind renewed. So come on up and we're going to lay hands on you. And there's a renewing of the mind anointing here tonight. And we're going to lay hands on you. And when I lay my hands on you, your mind is going to instantly be renewed once and for all. Wouldn't that be awesome? But it's not the way it is. He says, be constantly, daily, sometimes several times throughout the day, sometimes more than several times, be renewed. Continually be in the process of exchanging your old thoughts for God's new thoughts, exchanging the old way of thinking for his higher way of thinking. Absolutely. Be renewed. We know that our mind is renewed by this, by the word of God. Absolutely. So that tells us then that we can't just visit this book occasionally and expect to have a renewed mind. It's not going to work. You may get some great concepts and ideas, and you might feel good every now and then by reading something, but it's not going to produce a renewed mind. Why? Because, you know, I mean, I'm 43. It's impossible to think that I've spent 43 years of thinking a certain way and I'm going to read this one time and it's going to change everything. When I've put all of this time into this, well, doesn't it just make natural sense then that I need to put a whole lot of time now into this? If I want my life to go in a different direction now, well, then I'm going to have to put some great effort. Right? Amen. Absolutely. So he says, once again, be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind. And I like that. Having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. Attitude is everything. I was thinking so much about that today. I even had to put it out there on Facebook and whatever, you know, but it was just in my mind. Attitude is everything. And notice he says that you have to constantly be renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. A renewed mind is going to produce a better attitude in us. Absolutely. And our attitudes are like our clothes. Our attitudes, we put on clothes, and all of you, we can all see what each other's wearing. Thank God. But you know what? Our attitudes are like that. Absolutely. Attitudes are like clothing. Your attitude can be seen. Oh, yeah. You know it. You ever walk into a room or you go to a party or you go to a function and somebody's there and, man, they have just got the worst attitude? You spot it from across the room. You saw that outfit right away. Whoa. You felt it. Right? Yeah. And he's saying, put on, renew your mind. By doing so, you're going to put on a new attitude. Amen. Who used to sing that song? I got a new attitude. Donna Summer? No, not Donna Summer. Thank you, Danny. See? It's a gift to the body of Christ. Pointer Sisters, that would have bugged me until I Googled it. Pointer Sisters. It was Journey last week. It's Pointer Sisters now. Okay. We'll see what happens in the following. No. And in verse 24, here we go. Now, he told us what we need to put off. He says, and now we got to put something on. He says, and put on the new nature. Just like you put on a coat, just like you put on your clothes, you put on this shirt, you put it on. You did so on purpose. Unless I'm missing something, your life is not like the Jetsons. You don't just stand there, right? And these arms and things come out, right? Remember the Jetsons? And anybody ever used to watch the Jetsons? You guys did? Okay, I know you're young, but give me at least Flintstones? Really? Yes. Look at this. Isabel, do you even know what the Jetsons are? Oh, this is sad. All right. I'm going to school you on the Jetsons and Flintstones, the real Flintstones, not the remake, the one where his feet in the car, you know. Yeah, okay. Those are the good ones. But in the Jetsons, they lived in the space age, and you could, and everything, they come out, and they go, and then you just move on down the conveyor belt, and you were all dressed. You didn't have to do a thing. But that's not how it is. We on purpose get up. And we have to dress ourselves. And it is the same spiritually. You take off that old attitude. You take off that old bitterness coat that you've been wearing, that old nasty unforgiveness face. You take off these things. And then what? Do we just stand there naked? No. You put on something. You put on a new nature. The regenerate self created in God's image. Godlike, in true righteousness and holiness. Well, how do I know what that is? It comes when you get in this and you renew your mind. You put your clothes on. The more you renew your mind, the better dressed you are. Comes in this. Absolutely. See, he's not telling us something that we can't obtain. No, it's right here. Verse 25, therefore, now he's starting to tell us how we can do all this. Therefore, okay, how does this work, Paul? Rejecting all falsity and being done now with it, let everyone express the truth with his neighbor. And this does not just mean the person that lives next to you. Your neighbor is a general term. It means anybody who's next to you at any time. So that's everybody. Let everyone express truth, for we are all parts of one body and members one of another. Okay, and he's going on. He says, you want to know more? All right, here's some of the opposites. Here's what we're talking about. When you're angry, okay, you're going to get angry, but don't sin. Yeah, okay, you're going to get angry in this life. Stuff's going to make you angry. Absolutely. You can be angry, but don't sin. Just do opposite. See, the enemy says, you're angry? Ooh, yeah, you get it. Ooh, you know what you need to do? You need to just tell them off. In fact, if they even say anything back, just hit them. Where'd that thought come from, right? Where'd that thought come from? You do opposite of that. Can you see what we're talking about? It's right here. He says, all right, you're going to be angry, but don't sin. Do not ever let your wrath, your exasperation, your fury, or your indignation last until the sun goes down. In other words, don't let it drag on forever. Don't hold a grudge. Don't be angry for 20 years because when you were back in high school, you know, they wrote mean things about you in the bathroom wall. Or someone stole your boyfriend or whatever. You know, there are stuff in life that people are talking to each other for like 20, 30 years. And then when you really find out why, you're like, what? Are you kidding me? What? But this is what he's talking about. You get so angry and you get carried away and you stop. If you don't resist that, if you don't resist the devil and you yield to that, oh, it'll form a really good grudge. Like one of those really good ones that stand up for years. Industrial strength grudge. Yeah. And he goes on right into verse 27. And he says, leave no such room. All of these things that he's talking about, telling us not to do, these are door openers. These are room openers for the devil. He says, leave no such room or foothold for the devil. Give no opportunity to him. King James says, neither give place to the devil. See, that's not just an odd, separate thought that Paul was like, I'll just throw this in here. No, this is all one fluid thought. It's all instruction. And in the midst of it, he's saying, see, don't do these things because you're giving a foothold to the devil. If you're not going to be quick to mend fences and make things right, you're opening the door to the devil. And remember what we said last week? You cannot continually leave a crack open, a door, a little foothold open to the devil, and then get mad one day when he breaks the door down and shows up in the middle of your house, in the middle of your kids, in the middle of your life. And you're going, well, how did this happen? Well, these little things left the door open. Absolutely. Do you have time? Oh, it's 8:01. Let's try to get down to just a few more verses, and then we'll close it up, and I'll let you read the rest on your own. We're still talking about resisting the devil and these opposites. Okay, he goes in the same thought. In verse 28, he says, let the thief steal no more. Okay, well, what would be the opposite? If someone was used to going through life by stealing, taking what's not theirs, on any level, what's the opposite? He says, but rather, here's the opposite, let him be industrious, make an honest living, get a J-O-B. You're right? Get a job. Work with your own hands so that he may be able to give to those in need instead of being a taker. Right. Instead of looking to be a taker, become a giver. Mm-hmm. How? Put your hand to something so that then you can have something to give. Opposites, resistance, authority. He goes on, verse 29. Let no foul or polluting language nor evil word, oh my goodness, the Amplified is so in depth, nor evil word, nor unwholesome or worthless talk ever come out of your mouth. But, this is a lot, but only such speech as is good and beneficial to the spiritual progress of others. Okay, let's stop there. Do you mean my words could either help someone progress spiritually or hinder them spiritually? You mean your words have that much power in my life and my words have that much power in your life? Absolutely. Absolutely. See, this is the problem if you're not sold out, in a sense, and you're just real good at being Christian on Sunday and Wednesdays or when you're near the pastor or whatever, and then if you're with the girls or the boys or co-workers or people who are not your church crowd, this is where this scripture, when you need to be helping them progress spiritually, if you just fall into it and you start blankety blank, beep, 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 F-bomb, blankety blank, beep, 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 yeah, you know, blah, 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 yeah, blah, 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 you know, and just because it was more comfortable in a sense, what happened? It said, don't do any of these things. Say what's beneficial to the spiritual progress of others. We want our words. Our words are bigger than us. They don't just affect us. They affect others. Amen. Oh, we got to hurry. There's so much here. All right. To the progress of others, as is fitting to the need and the occasion. Oh, my goodness. There's okay, we just got to move on. But we'll come back to this one day. That it may be a blessing and give grace, God's favor to those who hear it. I like to think about it like this. Do you leave others better or worse? When you're with someone in a conversation, when you're at work, when you're at church, you're at lunch, you're at the store, and you leave that person's life, did you leave them better or worse? Did your words make a good difference or a bad difference? You know what I mean? Does that make sense? Just bringing this down into a practical, everyday level. And I think about that so much, and I like to keep it right in the front of my mind so that no matter how I may be feeling at the moment, I want to ever be aware of my surroundings and ever be aware of the people that are around me, because I want to make sure that I leave them better.
Amen.
And not worse.
That's right.
Because I make a difference in their spiritual progress. Mm-hmm. So big. It really is. And real quickly, we'll just go to verse 32. Verse 30 says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Do not offend or vex or sadden him by whom you were sealed. All of these things. For a believer to continually walk on purpose and do these things that we know we're not supposed to do, don't you know that's grievous to the Holy Spirit? It grieves him. He's on the inside of you, and he's tugging on your heart, and he's talking to you, and he's doing everything he knows to do to be the helper, to be your guide, to be your advocate. He's trying to fulfill his job description in your life, and it is grievous to him for us as Christians to know that, and yet, well, I'm just going to do this anyway. And so Paul says, don't grieve him. Don't offend him by whom you were sealed, marked, branded as God's own. Wow. Secured for the day of redemption, a final deliverance through Christ from evil and the consequences of sin. This is so, so big. Oh, my goodness. He goes on and he says, let all bitterness and indignation, wrath, passion, rage, bad temper, resentment, anger, animosity, quarreling, brawling, clamor, contention, slander, evil speaking, abusive, blasphemous language, let it be banished from you with all malice, no more spite, ill will, baseness of any kind. Whew. He says, and become useful. Why? Because if I am living in all of that, I am not resisting the devil. I'm not walking in my authority. I am not in obedience with God. And frankly, I'm not real useful. I'm not real useful. And there are a lot of Christians, they have all the potential in the world. They're just oozing with potential, but they're not useful. Remember how, was it Timothy, was talked about those vessels? In the house, there's a vessel of honor and a vessel of dishonor. And there are vessels, and the vessels are there to be used. And yeah, everyone, God wants to, but not everyone is usable. So he says, become useful and helpful and kind to one another, tender-hearted. How do I do that? By going completely opposite of all the other junk we just read. By not doing that. Be compassionate, understanding, loving-hearted, forgiving one another readily and freely. See, that's the opposite of letting your wrath drag on till the sun goes down. Can you see this so clear? I mean, I'm hoping that it's making as much sense to you as it's made to me. Resisting the devil is simply just doing opposite. All of these things, instead of being blasphemous and angry and hatred and temper and blah, 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 what is the opposite of that? All right, I'm gonna be kind. I don't feel like you don't have to feel like it. Quit waiting on the feeling. You don't have to quit being led and dictated by your feelings. Tell yourself how to feel. And your feelings will catch up. They will have to submit to the authority, the one in authority. Amen. Forgiving one another readily, freely, as God in Christ forgave you. And if I can just show you this, and we'll stop right here. Remember the chapters, they weren't there. This was a letter. And so it's the same thought. He's still talking about the same thing. As God in Christ forgave you, chapter 5, verse 1, he's still the same thought. He says, so therefore, how do I do all this? Be imitators of God. Be the exact opposite of the devil. Imitate God, who is the supreme opposite of the devil. Be imitators of God. Copy him. Follow his example. You know, it's become cliche and it's not a big deal anymore, but there was a time when it kind of was cool because it really meant something, right? WWJD, what would Jesus do? Right? I mean, that's kind of out the window now, but I don't know, maybe we need to bring it back or something. But he says, be imitators of God, copy him, follow his example. Just think, okay, what would God do in this situation? Would God punch him out, take the money and run? No, I don't think so. I think God would be kind. Okay, I'm going to do that. Yeah, absolutely. And then it goes right on. He says, follow his example as well-beloved children, imitate their father, and walk in love. Here we go. And that's just opens the door for a whole other message. Walk in love. Esteeming. How do you do this? What does it mean? Esteem, delight in one another as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a slain offering and sacrifice to God for you so that it became a sweet fragrance. Be imitators of God. We resist anything that's of the devil when we obey God and his word. I really hope that concept just kind of settles in your thinking. When you're tempted and the thought comes, well, just lie and get out of it. Just lie and get out of it. Stop and think, what's the opposite? How do I resist lying? Ooh, tell the truth. That is the opposite, right? What is the opposite of hate?
Love.
Thought comes, ooh, I hate this person. I hate this. No, what's the opposite? Love. Okay. I choose to love this person. The love of God is shed abroad in my heart. Therefore, I don't even have to come up with the love to love this person with because I have your love. So therefore, I can love. Opposites, right? The opposite of bitterness, forgiveness. Amen. I was thinking about this, even down to our finances. Poverty is of the devil. Poverty is not of God. He's never asked anybody to take a vow of poverty. It's not of God. What would be the opposite of how do you resist poverty? Become a tither. Obey God and his word. Become a giver. Live the life of a giver. How do I resist poverty? By obeying God's word. By giving. I am resisting poverty. My door is not open to poverty because I'm a tither. I am in full. I am obedient to God. I am walking in authority. I don't even have a foothold open for poverty to manifest itself in any area of my life. Why? Because I know I can resist poverty by standing up in its face and saying, no, you don't. I'm a tither. You've got no jurisdiction here. There is not even a crack in this door open to you. Not only do I tithe, but I'm a giver. I'm a sower of seed. So therefore, poverty, I have resisted you. So how about let's do that to close out this message. We might as well just flow right into our offering. Praise God. We're going to resist poverty by receiving our tithe and offering tonight. Praise God. I hope you got something out of this. I always hope it makes as much sense. Sometimes you know, things make so much sense up here, and it's like, ooh, help me to get it out. So it'll make sense. Or make faith, we should say. Praise God. Let that concept kind of drop in your heart and start thinking about. When the thought comes to react a certain way, stop and think. How would God react? What would the word tell me to do? And then we do that. Praise God. Take your time. Some of you are still writing. Don't be rushed. I'm thankful for Wednesday nights. We grow. Wednesday nights are for growth. Sunday mornings too, absolutely, without a doubt. But you know, most of us, we wouldn't dream of feeding ourselves one meal a week. So we don't want to do that spiritually either. Brother Hagin used to always talk about how a real good way to keep yourself filled up spiritually is link the two together. Every time you eat naturally, feed yourself spiritually. Get your Bible or a book or something so that while you're eating, pull it up on your phone. Get a verse or two in. Feed yourself spiritually too.